Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you live from Austin, Texas. What's going on in the news? Lots of stuff, if you believe the news. If you don't, then lots of other stuff that the news is not covering. Either way, the news does seem to be very concerned about adjusting people's expectations about conspiracy theories. That conveniently happening right after the Trump administration is now in full swing, and things like Epstein are still up in the air. People don't know what's going on. They want to know what's going on. Everybody was set up to believe something was going on, and now we're being told nothing is going on. In case you weren't caught up on that, that's basically it. Nothing to see here. They released a video of Epstein before, you know, the prison cell. I think the camera to the prison cell before Epstein died, allegedly by suicide. And they said it ahead of time that it was going to be edited, that there were going to be alterations, enhancements done on this video. And that then they would release an unedited version for people to be able to compare the two, and that the enhanced version was just for the benefit of viewers being able to understand what they were looking at, allegedly. I don't know that they released an unenhanced version, but people immediately checked the metadata and found that the thing was edited, even though they were told it was going to be edited. So they shouldn't have even been surprised, or even they should have just dismissed the video. I didn't even watch the video. The minute I saw that news report before they released it that it was going to be edited, it's like, what are you? When you read the CIA files, when they release them and they have all those black bars blocking out all the most important information, you're just going to believe that? No. And as usual, we all have to, we got to just eat it. We got to eat it up. We got to swallow it down. And just sit with it, because it's all supposedly in the interest of national security. They always play that card. They always will play that card. You're never going to hear them say anything. And that's the problem, is that now they want to, they're kind of pulling out all the stops about the conspiracy thing now, right? All of the, especially Democrat Party, but now the Republican Party, right? Now that the Republican Party is in power, they coasted to power by admitting that there were suspect facts about certain conspiracy theories like the Epstein scandal. Now that they have it, now they are going to turn around and deny it. And that's, you shouldn't have expected anything else. Does that mean that all of these conspiracy theories were fake? Really? I don't think so, because from my knowledge of human wisdom, there's that whole thing about if you want to tell a really good lie, you always infuse it with a little bit of the truth. And I think that happened. Now they want to just say categorically it's all fucked up and stupid. And the interesting thing is, the Hunter Biden interview, which I watched half of already, just so you don't have to. The Hunter Biden interview is feeds into that. There's a large chunk of it where he's just with Andrew Callahan and they're chuckling over these darned conspiracy theorists. What a bunch of scrappy ragamuffins, right? What a bunch of skanks. Oh, skanks. Was that a Freudian slip? What a bunch of scamps they are, just running around, not believing the things people say at face value. And the thing is like now they're gonna walk out all the crazy conspiracy theories, all the craziest ones, the QAnon ones. They always walk out and put the really wacko conspiracy theories, they put them through their paces. They go, isn't this insane? I mean, look at this. It's like a dog show, but for conspiracy theories. But then they always keep they always keep the normal conspiracies behind the stage, and then they walk out the more wackadoodle ones. They're like, look at this crazy thing. Look at this. They'll watch him jump. Watch him go through that tunnel. Look at this. I mean, can you believe this? This is wacky. Who believes this stuff? Right? But then there's like credible conspiracy theories in the back burner that nobody is mentioning. And now in the Hunter Biden interview, they are talking about things now as if it were the Democratic Party. I don't know which one it is. I think Democrat Party, you say Democrat Party when you want to call them a bunch of cunts, and then Democratic Party when you're just like, yeah, if that's what you want us to call you, fine. Those are your pronouns, Democratic Party, okay. But I think their actual party name is Democrat Party. I don't know, though. I actually haven't looked it up. I just liked believing what I just said. But, yeah, that Hunter Biden interview. They go through all the QAnon conspiracy. This is really wacky. Can you believe it? And this and that and Epstein and this and those and these. And what did they say? And all the conspiracies about the laptop theory and about what Hunter Biden was up to. And it's just really funny listening to Hunter Biden dismiss all of it. Like, get at it. Me do shady things as a crackhead in Europe? Are you kidding me? What are you talking about? You're just looking at him like, yeah, I'm sure you never did anything. Ever. Nothing at all. Nothing to see here. Just a crackhead. Former. But the thing is, they start talking about all the conspiracy theories that you can just say are wacky. Then they mention a few things like about the CIA involvement with the crack epidemic during the war on drugs, as if that were the Democrats' position forever and ever, and that, you know, that they, that's not a conspiracy. It's in the books. It's in, but you know, in back in the day, that was thought of as a conspiracy theory. So now the Overton window shifted. All of the conspiracy theories from the 90s are now factual because people actually check the paperwork. The war on drugs, CIA involvement in creating the crack epidemic or exacerbating it rather. The things like the forced sterilization or non-consensual sterilization of Puerto Ricans back in the day, I think, what was it, like the 70s or something like that? Then there are conspiracies like those were considered conspiracy theories, right? Those were considered wackadoodle ideas back in the day. Then everything shifted, and now those are the Democratic Party's talking points. So I'm not saying anything that you probably haven't kind of thought in the back of your head while you're busy with your life anyway, but yeah, it's a little, you could be a little skeptical. Hunter Biden is such a sleaze. You can hear it in the way he talks. The only time that he sounded real and passionate and like he had been there was when he was talking about the crack epidemic, because he smoked crack. So he saw what was happening on the ground floor of the crack epidemic, the war on drugs, and how it affected and decimated Black communities across the nation. He said it credibly because he was probably some fucking white guy, son of a senator, trying to cop a baggie while people were getting mowed down by the cops around him. And then he'd probably just pull out some card or something like, do you know who my dad is? And get away while a bunch of Black people got arrested all around him, right? This is what this guy was up to, probably, I'm assuming. And so he does sound believable because you can feel suddenly that his face and his hands and his body language matches what he's saying. It's kind of a tell, right? If you feel like somehow, if you know what I'm saying, you know when you kind of feel like somebody's lying, or not lying, but it's like, it's not about lying, right? It's kind of like if they're either lying or being disingenuous or hiding something or just saying things like that they were told to say, or that they pre-wrote, or that people were advising them to say, and they don't actually know the reality, that rhymes because I made it rhyme, then something about how they talk is different than when someone's being passionate and living in their truth. And he kind of switched between those two, right? When somebody's kind of being disingenuous or lying or what have you, or whatever's going on there, they're, the way they are saying the things that come out of their mouth, it doesn't match what their body language is expressing. It's almost like when you watch a video and you notice that the audio is delayed or ahead. That's a person, people kind of do that in real life, but they do it, it's like the emotions are not matching the words. So you know what I'm saying? So it's either delayed or ahead of itself. And it just, they don't match up. It feels like that. It feels like when you watch a fucked up video and the audio doesn't match the visual, that's a person that's lying. So, and that's kind of, that's how your senses tell you, you know, red flag, something's happening here. And I'm not saying he was lying per se. I'm saying this is what he was being told to say in certain parts of this interview, probably. And so he just kind of rattled it off. And he is well-versed in this space. This is, crackhead or no, this is how he grew up. So he knows how to navigate this. Even if he hasn't been front of camera, he's been around it, maybe advising himself or something like that. And he's a crackhead, former crackhead. I mean, come on. Those guys, they are expert bullshit artists. So not to say that just because somebody is a former drug user, you can't trust them, they will never tell the truth. That's absolutely not what I'm saying. I'm saying that because someone is a drug user, you can't trust them or believe everything they're saying. You see what the difference is? That's, it's a big difference. So, and it was interesting because you could tell also, here's the litmus test for when Hunter Biden is telling the truth in the interview, is watch the segment where he's talking about how he doesn't want to talk about how amazing crack is. That part, he is when he's really at his most genuine, because he knows the insides and outsides of crack, and he talks about the sodium bicarbonate. He almost trips up and details how to make crack, because Andrew Callahan sort of casually asked him, and then he just caught himself and said, ugh. And then he literally goes something like, I don't want to talk about the euphoric qualities of smoking crack. It's like, yeah. And it's, he's just like that crack smoke character in the Dave Chappelle show, where he goes and does a show and tell for kids in an elementary school, and he talks about crack and how amazing it is. It's like that. Everybody knows that the problem with drugs is that they are amazing. Not that they're bad. They are great. So great. Like that Louis C.K. joke, that you'll ruin your fucking life. So, you know. He's a Nepo baby, too. Nepo babies have been popping up all over, taking advantage of every parent's fall from grace. It has been interesting. The Nepos are moving in. I feel like they're trying to usurp their parents. They're trying to... I wouldn't even be surprised if a lot of them are happy that their parents struggle with the media and get canceled and get exposed with some scandal, some affair, something. Because if you're a Nepo baby and your parent is okay, their career is fine, I mean, you'll get stuff, you'll get in there, you'll have life in media or wherever you are, like Chris D'Elia, whose father was some high-end manager, agent, something, management company, a production, something. I forget. But Chris D'Elia made it in Hollywood as a comedian before he got exposed for exposing himself through his dad. His dad hooked him up. You look up a lot of rappers now, and the reason why they seem a lot less gangsterish now and more theater kid, it's because a lot, if you look at their Wikipedia pages, you'll find out that a lot of them have parents that work in the industry and obviously got hooked up somewhere along the way. So it's not really talent-based anymore. And we know it. It's fine. And the thing is that everybody's really apathetic towards talent now anyway. And that's why we don't have any talent. And you're apathetic towards talent because nobody believes in passion anymore. People are cynical about whatever someone is too passionate about, too much of a good thing, because the most passionate, driven, high-performing artists over the years and activists and this and that have been discovered to be doing some shady shit. Michael Jackson, R. Kelly, Puff Daddy. So people are really skeptical about so-called talent. And that has led to this situation where I don't think anybody even wants talent, or maybe production companies don't want to hire real talent because they're too unpredictable. They're too much of a liability. So now we're getting into this stage or this phase of celebrity where we're back to, but even more than ever before, manufacturing fake bitches to perform for, like, Taylor Swift and Beyonce are often placed like in opposition to each other or like a contrast, but they are the exact same celebrity phenomena. They are, you know, people with a certain level of talent. I would argue, let's say, I mean, you can't really argue about who was more talented. And I'm going to intentionally not say who is more talented so that you can just, whoever popped into your head, that's who it is. Okay? I don't care. But regardless of that, they get swept up by the culture. They are an opportunity now for a lot of people to make money off of them. So, you know, they start making deals. They make a visit to the White House, see the president. Next thing you know, they're singing the national anthem or some crap like that, or they're traveling on a UN envoy to Gaza or some shit like that. They're in, and they become this corporate ambassador creature, this really high level elite brand ambassador, basically. And they make lots and lots and loads of money, and not hating, right? There's no hateration here, but that's what they are. They are no longer a person. They're an avatar where a lot of corporate interests can just shove themselves in there like multiples just all up in these ladies. Multiple corporate dicks. They're doing all at once. And you're paying for it, right? You pay for it. Or it's like attention is really the thing now. So what I'm saying about Nepo babies is they are talentless. They are bland. They are lame. They are stupid. They are not exceptional in any real way. They're pretty average, which is fine, or it used to be. But now it's a cardinal sin to just be a normal person. So these Nepos, desperate to have some leverage and not having the prerequisite talent, smarts, brightness, charm, charisma, height, beauty, whatever you need, personality. They are now doing this thing like Elon Musk's trans daughter, where the minute their parent, their high-performing parent, makes a splash in the news for something that's not good, mostly. It's mainly when it's not good and it sullies their reputation. These Nepo kids are now selling their parents down the river sometimes, like Elon Musk's daughter. I just immediately, like, he's a piece of shit. Fuck him. I hate him. Which probably she has her reasons, justifiably reasons for blah, 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 because she hates her daddy or whatever. But then she starts a TikTok and launches a whole career. Now she's an avatar, like a B level one. Maybe C-level even. I don't know how it works, the hierarchy of avatars for corporate brands works now. But now she can dance on TikTok, grow her hair out real, real, real long down at her knees, or get a weave or whatever that is, and, you know, do the ballroom gay dancing on stage, holding a big flag, big pride flag, and sell merch for other people. Like, she's sellable, because I watched her dancing. She sucks. She's not good. She probably got some training now. She's got enough money for it, but she's never going to really have a special raw talent for it. There's a completely different story when somebody's raw talent shines through their training. Those two things combined, it's potent. And the thing is like, we've gotten to this weird place where we don't want potency anymore. We want dilution. We want everything to be diluted. We don't want to feel too much. And I don't know if it's us that don't want to feel too much, or if it's just kind of the way things are going with media, with art, entertainment, where now these media companies, it's like they don't even want to be competitive. They don't want to win, right? They want to work together to distract us. Like the Hunter Biden interview, a 3-hour interview. What the fuck is it? Who the fuck is that for? Who is that really for? Nobody. You're going to sit down there and, but you will. It was like over 3 million views, right? And the thing is, it's like, does that guy talented at all at anything but making crack? No. But you watch it because of the scandal, because they put it out there, because they just want to, now it's just about distraction. That's what I'm saying. We don't have entertainment anymore. We have distraction. And because we don't have entertainment, we don't need talent. And because we're going to just do distraction, all we need is just gossip and rumor. That's all you need. What distracts you in your day-to-day life, right? Gossip, bullshit, rumors, bullshit, all the bullshit that you keep trying to get away from. Now that's that's TV now. So I think it's just easier to monetize. If somebody's too potent, if you see something online that's too amazing, first they bombard you with the stuff that's too amazing. You get sick of it, right? Like, who the fuck wants to hear Smells Like Teen Spirit truly anymore? It's sickening. It's like too much of a good thing. So they drown you with amazing stuff until your nerve endings are dead. With that stuff, you feel nothing. Right? It's like too much porn, too much talent, and so now we're deadened, and we're kind of probably growing some kind of immunity to that shit. And so people are tuning out. So what do? Instead, they just try to attract your attention with nothing, with absolutely nothing, with distraction, bullshit. And that's why AI is just perfect now. Because AI, no talent, no nothing, just bland, fever dream levels of vividness where you feel like you are on crack. Fuck Hunter Biden, right? You're just, ugh. And then Nepo babies. They just throw those in too because, you know, the scandal and the gossip and the rumor. And you're like, ooh, well, what are they up to with this a person who's adjacent to a person who actually has talent, who had a fall from grace? Let's see. So that's where we're at. And it's bullshit. I want to know what happened to Epstein. That's what I want to know. If you read, and I know nobody reads anymore, but if you read the Epstein file, if you can download it online, I promise you, you don't even have to read past the second page to be convinced that something is off. You don't have to read it all. You should. You should read the whole thing, come up with your own conclusion. But, I mean, it is so suspect that it's almost insulting, too, when they act like that the Epstein so-called conspiracy theory is just wacky, wackadoodle or whatever. Because you read it. Read it. You don't believe me. Read it. It's like, what the fuck? The whole thing is, it seems like the setting to like a murder mystery. It does, because you have this prison in the middle of the city of New York, and you got this floor where this guy is being held in his cell, where multiple cameras aren't working suddenly, all of a sudden. You got security guards taking a nap when they know this guy's on suicide watch. Conveniently taking a nap. You have like his cellmate who was suspect, I forget why. The whole thing is stacked up. You read the first or second page, you're like, come on. Okay? If you read it, you would believe that Hillary Clinton herself just waltzed in that place and shanked him, or hung him by a tampon or something like that. Is she still menstruating? I don't know. She's probably too old. But yeah. And that's they just entertain us with that too. It's all bullshit. It's all distraction. They want you distracted, but I don't even think it's a distraction for, you know, so that they can conspire. It's just for entertainment, it's just to sell you ads and track your data and do the whole surveillance state thing. So, you know, the Nepo babies are so desperate to be a part of that, and they know that they're so close that I wouldn't even be surprised if some of these Nepo babies are calling the cops and the feds and the news journalists on their parents themselves and just being like they're just leaking this information because the men at their parents, or maybe even their parents, are telling them to do, like, hey, you know, I'm through. The feds are about to discover my Ponzi scheme, kid. So, you know, I don't know. Go call the New York Times and tell them about me. And maybe you could start a TikTok and we can raise some money for my legal expenses. Well, who knows? I don't know. I certainly don't. But it's crazy. Everything is crazy now, but it's meant to look crazy because everything now is just bullshit. It's the news is not the news. The news has now become, I mean, some news is still news, but the news that, you know, they splash across social media the most is what's going to, you know, get clicks. So it's just all tabloid. It's all yellow journalism. We're back to that again. And we have AI now and Grok instead of being able to graze the internet like a herd, like a wild herd of horses. For information, we just ask this little robot oracle, and it keeps us in the proprietary software of Google and stuff. So we're like cattle. Now we're like a bunch of cows being corralled into and herded through fear to different places on the internet to buy shit, to do shit, to waste your fucking time. Get off the internet. And look, I have no ulterior motive for saying that, because if you get off the internet, then this show will never even take off. But you should. Fuck the internet. Go outside. This is the time, because you go outside for information, because staring at a tree stump at this point in time is probably just as informative as trying to get factual information consistently online. It's the same. And at least you're staring at a tree stump. You could do it with your friends and family. You can have a good time. You try to do that online with your friends and family, they start pushing you away from your friends and family and towards celebrities and news bullshit and just all kinds of, and the Hunter Biden interview and all kinds of other bullshit. Or just kind of shoving other people at you to distract you from the people you want to talk to. It's all changing, because everything that we were trying to avoid during COVID everything that people were scared of, like the card, the digital biometric data file that people were terrified of. We're going to do it, right? Now they're going to do it. They're going to... Look, Trump just announced Wednesday a new program allowing Americans to share personal health data across big tech apps and healthcare systems. What's the difference between the government forcing you to do that and then you doing it because you're incentivized by, you know, your social media app, your platform, your favorite platform, Spotify or whatever, and you just share your information, your biometric data, your personal health data through ZocDoc. You just share it and it goes to Google or goes to Meta or whatever, or Musk, right? And who are they contracted out to? The United States government. So they're going to get the data anyway, but they're just doing it with the Vaseline instead of just raw dogging you for your information. And they did it with the Patriot Act, with the surveillance state, instead of the government just forcibly shoving little cameras all over the place. They just give you a little phone. And a bunch of little colors and noises and doodads and shiny things and celebrities and gossip, right? And the whole time you're using and scrolling your phone, you're filming everything in your life. You're filming people that you think are assholes on the street. You're filming and you're taking screenshots of personal shit. Like, all of they're you're doing it for them. We're all doing it for them. So it's gonna happen whether we like it or not. It's just, you know, good way or the bad way. And so far, Americans are gullible enough to do it the good way most of the time. But whatever. What do I know anyway? I've just been out here staring at tree stumps. Anyway, that's all the time I have for today. Thank you for joining me for the Melissa Diaz Report, today's Thursday editorial op-ed. And I've been Melissa Diaz, and now I'm out. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. And stay tuned for Monday when I come back with the news, hard-ass news for your ears, for your audio auditory pleasure. Thanks a lot, guys. I'll see you then. Have a great weekend. Bye.